Everyone, house of the Lord. Hope everybody has had a great week this week, and I know today is going to be a great day in the house of the Lord. And so we're thankful for this opportunity to still be able to gather, and in the name of the Lord. And of course, we're all using precautions and we're being safe. And I know the Lord will bless that, and He has thus far. Maybe one or two only cases we've had at the church. And the Lord has brought those through that, and so we praise the Lord for that. And we want to thank those that are watching by way of Facebook this morning. We appreciate your faithfulness to the church and to the Lord, and I hope you get a blessing by watching today. I want to mention a few things before we pray. I have a thank you card here, and this is from Miss Mary Rich. She says, "Brother Justin and Calvary Baptist family, I want to thank all of you for your prayers and for the cards and all the kind thoughts you sent to me while I was dealing with the COVID virus. You're all a great blessing to me. Love, Miss Mary Rich." And so we appreciate that. We are certainly continuing to pray for Miss Mary and family. And I'm just so glad that she's over the virus. And of course, Brother Bobby, he's over it too. And a while back, he's got that T-shirt to wear as well. But nonetheless, the Lord's been good by allowing these two to get through this and be able to testify that God does heal and God does touch. And so we're so, so thankful for that. Just a few prayer requests this morning. Let's remember Brother Greg Smith, his dad Lloyd Smith. Last week, he was in the hospital with congestive heart failure, but let's continue to remember him. Brother Arnold McCrickard got through his surgery well, and he's back home and had a kidney removed. He called me yesterday and let me know that he made it back home, and so that's pretty amazing, have a kidney removed and make it back home all in the same week. We praise the Lord for touching him, but let's continue to pray, Brother Arnold, as he moves forward in his life, him and Miss Emily. We're praying for them. Good to have Brother Allen back with us today. Let's do continue to remember Robbie as he recovers from his with the virus and the ailments he's dealing with. Let's pray for protection for Brother Allen and Miss Terry and family. So the Lord will continue to protect them. And He has, hasn't He, brother? He has. And so we praise the Lord for that. Because of Brother Allen's job, I know he don't mind me saying this, he had to take another test, day before yesterday, something like that?
Yes.
Yesterday. And it was negative. And so that's why he's here this morning, back with us. So let's just remember him and all of those on our prayer list. Let's remember each and every person. Brief deacons meeting after church this morning, to just look at things for the new year and make sure we're all on the same page. And so we'll appreciate that. All right, well, let's pray this morning. We all got dressed. We're here. We're wearing our protective masks. Let's just ask the Lord to show us some things this morning. Amen. Let us be encouraged by the time we leave. Again, thank you for watching on Facebook. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name this morning. Your name, Lord, is worthy to be praised. You are a good, good God. Lord, we're reflecting upon the things that you have done in all of our lives. We all could testify this morning of how you have parted the waters of difficulty in our lives, and you've allowed us to cross the depths of struggle in our lives. And Lord, now we're standing in a situation in our present world with all the political battles going on in this current pandemic. Lord, it didn't catch you by surprise. And no doubt you've been carrying us thus far. Continue to carry us. Help us this morning to not think upon those things during the hour of worship, but think upon you, so that you might show us your will, and Lord, that we might be spiritually revived today. to go back out into the world and deal with this. So, Lord, we praise you for what you have done. We praise you for what you're doing, and we praise you for what you're going to do in our lives, in this service today, in everybody's life. We just give you thanks. We pray for those on the prayer list that, dear God, has had surgery, those who have had the COVID virus. We thank you for touching those whom you've touched. Lord, help us just move forward with caution, but nonetheless, help us move forward as individuals and a church in this life in which we live. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Choir, if you will stand with me. Church, if you'll stand with me this morning, turn over to page number 139. Page 139, let's everyone stand and sing together at Calvary.
at his eyes, watching me. And the anchor holds,
for the ship is battered. The anchor holds, for the sails are torn. I have
the anchor. The anchor still holds. Though this ship may be battered, the anchor holds. Though the sails are torn,
raging.
Morning, say amen. 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 Well, I asked Lily to sing a special for us this morning before I preach. And so you pray for her as she sings this morning. And this particular song just reflects upon the character of our Lord and what he does for us. So you pray for her this morning. Bless your Lord.
I just want to thank God for his love and protection. And throughout in my devotion this week, I felt like everywhere I turned, it was talking about. And I'm so guilty of this, trying to. I'm gonna fix it. I'm gonna fix it for my kids. I'm gonna fix it for my house. I'm gonna fix it for my kids at school. I just want to fix things. And we can't always fix things. And God's really been convicting me this week. And CJ will tell you, I want everything just how I want it. Just right.
That's good.
So thankful for God that loves us even when we're our lives may be crazy, it seems like, but He still loves us and takes care of us. And you know, it's as scary as it is to even leave the house right now, you know,
yeah.
You have to honestly, I don't miss a morning that I don't pray, not just for my kids, but with my kids, to help God help them remember to do this, to wash their hands, to keep their mask on, and let them remember those things. But you know, it's hard not to go to the grocery store, you're worried. And honestly, coming to church, you have to give everything you worry.
Yeah.
And I'm honestly so thankful that even though we have to think, let's wash our hands, if you pass sanitizer, use it, I'm thankful that I'm here with my kids.
Amen.
I'm thankful that we can come here and feel safe and distance apart and wear our masks, but we're still here.
Yes.
I'm just thankful for His love, and I pray that we'll remember during these crazy times of the things we have to be so scared about, that we'll let those things slip out so He can fill our hearts and our minds and our hands with His tender mercies. And I'm thankful that He does that for us.
Amen. Thank you for that testimony. What a blessing. Anybody else this morning? Anybody else? Appreciate the Lord and His goodness. And God has been good to us. When mother and father forsake you, the Lord will be there. When the doctors don't give a good report, the great physician is there, Brother Harold. He knows how to turn the tide. And we appreciate the Lord this morning for who He is and what He does. Let's take our Bibles this morning for a few moments and turn to the Old Testament book of Psalms. Psalm 77. Psalm 77. You know, sometimes the music service coincides with the sermon, and sometimes it don't. I've learned how to preach with both, whether it goes along with it or whether it doesn't. But this morning, I really feel like the song service has went along with my message this morning. We talked about praise. We talked about the anchor holds. And I'm going to mention some things. In fact, one verse in just a moment, verse number 19 out of Psalm 77, in just a moment. I do want to bow for a word of prayer. And then I want to summarize what's taking place, give us a little bit of context here in this psalm. And then we'll read our text verse, and Lord willing, bring the message. Father, we come in Jesus' name one more time. Lord, I pray that You would gird up the loins of my mind, as Peter says. Lord, give me physical power, spiritual strength to be Your communicator this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would apply Your word to every heart. There may be some here this morning that needs encouragement. I'm sure we all do, but some particularly. There may be others who are here in person, but may be following from afar. There may be those watching that need a certain kind of word. Holy Spirit, do what you can only do this morning. Apply Your word to the hearts of everyone, and we'll praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a moment, I want to read verse number 19 out of Psalm 77. But by way of introduction, I do want to say that in your Bible, if they have a title under Psalm 77, most Bibles do. I've always used the King James Bible. But if you notice the title under Psalm 77, it says, "To the chief musician, to Judgethon, a psalm of Asaph." Judgethon is the name there. "To the chief musician, to Judgethon, a psalm of Asaph." This psalm is a psalm of a person named Asaph. Now, Asaph was a particular man who most believe he was a singer and a musician of David. And this particular psalm, it was wrote by him, and it was wrote to this man named Judgethan. And Judgethan, the Bible says, well, at least in this title here, it says that he is the chief musician, or the choir director, if you would. He's the choir director. And so we know that this psalm, it was wrote by Asaph, which was a singer and musician of David. And it was to Judgethan, which was the chief musician or choir director. And this psalm had instrumentals put to it. And it was sung in the temple for the hour of worship, like many of the psalms are. They have instrumentals placed to them, and they're either read or sung during the hour of worship or on the way to worship. I want to go a step further and say, within this particular psalm, it can be divided into two parts. Number one, in verse 1 down through verse number 9, we see Asaph's trouble. And then in verse number 10 through verse number 20, we have Asaph's triumph. And so this whole psalm has to do with going from trouble to triumph. I do want to say that his triumph is connected to reflecting on God and what God has done. We sang the song a moment ago, "We Will Remember." And certainly much of our hope and much of our faith in our Christian life is linked toward reflecting on what God has done in order to forge ahead for the future. And so it has to do with Asaph's trouble. It has to do with Asaph's triumph. I want you to notice something else in this psalm by way of introduction. In verse number 7 through 9, we see that in his trouble, he made a wrong conclusion of God. Look at verse number 7. "Will the Lord cast off forever?" He had a wrong conclusion in his trouble about God. He felt like as though the Lord had just cast him off because he was experiencing trouble. The remainder part of that verse says, "And will he be favorable no more?" Verse 8. "Is his mercy clean gone forever?" How about that? He felt as though God is and was not being merciful anymore. That's the very nature of God, is being merciful. His mercies are new every morning, Brother Harold. And so yet this man Asaph, he was going through a time of trouble, a time of difficulty. And during this time, he had a wrong conclusion of God. So many times we're tempted to think that way, don't we? I know I do. If the trial or if the trouble, certainly this pandemic, it stretches out over a long course of time, long period of time. There's times where we get tempted to doubt God or doubt his love for us. Or will he ever be merciful again? We get to thinking sometimes if we're not careful that God has cast us out or cast us off and he's done working with us. And so we see that Asaph, he had some troubles in his life, and he had a wrong conclusion of God. Verse number 8, the second part of that verse, it says, "Doeth his promise fail forevermore?" The other Sunday we preached on some of the promises of God, and we mentioned that it was said, I believe in 1 Kings, that not one of his promises have failed toward Israel. And so now we have this man Asaph, and he feels as though God's promises are not relevant to him anymore because of the trouble he's going through. Look at verse number 9. "Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" Selah, or think on that for a while. This morning we have a wrong conclusion coming from this man named Asaph. And many of the time we go through things. We go through disappointments. We go through heartaches. We go through times of struggle. And if we're not careful, Satan will get on our shoulder. If we're not careful, we will begin to doubt that the Lord will ever be merciful again. will begin to doubt and feel like God will never be gracious, that He has just cast us off. Many times during the storms of life, we have a wrong conclusion about God. I was speaking with someone yesterday, trying to be a help and trying to be a blessing to them during their time of struggle. And they were just so wrapped up tightly in their trouble, their situation, their struggle. And the words that were coming out of their mouth was of course, that they were negative words. And they were words as though he wasn't, this person wasn't a child of God. Now, they claim to be saved and they're sure of that, but they've made some wrong decisions. And so they're at a big time of struggle right now in their life. And so he was speaking in a very negative sense about his relationship in the Lord. And I just flat out told him, said, look, there are some things that we do in life that we bring upon ourselves. I said, but there's other things we do. There's other things we're going through our life, and there's other things we don't bring upon ourselves. It's just nothing more, nothing less than the providence of God. God has allowed us to go through some things that we didn't bring on ourselves. And on the flip side, there's some things we go through that we have brought upon ourselves. And so that's what I told them. I said, but whether it's something providentially that God has brought into your life or whether it's something that you brought upon yourself, God is still gracious. And God is still merciful and He wants to help you. But you know, sometimes when you're in that place of trouble, you're in that place of struggle, it's hard to not think that about God. That's why it's important to read our Bibles and to get rooted and grounded within the pages of God's Word. To get rooted and grounded with the promises of God that He has for us. The very simple promises. I mean, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That ought to be enough right there. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All that cometh to me are in my Father's hand, and no man shall be able to pluck them out of my hand, in essence. I mean, it's these precious promises that we have, and they're good. They're not just good for the good times, but they're definitely good for the bad times. When you're in a place of struggle, and you want to run away, and there's seemingly no victory on the horizon for you, that is time to get into God's Word and really, really surrender to the Lord and His leadership and just trust Him. And so we see Asaph here. Asaph was in trouble and he made a wrong conclusion about God, verse number 7 through 9. I want you to notice something else that Asaph did. Asaph, this was a good thing, he didn't seek the diversion of business to help his struggle. But he sought the Lord. You will not find in this psalm where Asaph just busied himself with many things to forget about his problem. Now, to an extent, we do that, don't we? I mean, we go through trouble and we go through struggle and we go through great trial. And sometimes we just have to stay busy so we won't dwell on these things. But when you read about Asaph, he didn't necessarily divert. He didn't necessarily divert himself in the area of business concerning his struggle, but he sought the Lord. Now, in verse number 10, down through verse number 20, we see that Asaph let faith answer his fears. So basically, we can say verse number 1 through 9. Was a life of fear and a life of struggle. But verse number 10 through verse number 20 is a life of faith answering those fears. You see, because Asaph reflected upon what the Lord has done in his life. Notice if you would in verse number 10, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. And so we see that Asaph is reflecting. He is seeking the Lord by looking back at what God has done. And so he didn't get to a place of diversion through busyness or business to
to occupy his mind, although we do that at times, and that's okay to an extent. But yet Asaph, he sought the Lord. He was reflecting on the Lord. And by doing this, it let faith answer and diminish his fears. I kind of look at this struggle Asaph is going through and how he transitioned from trouble to triumph. I kind of look at it as a clogged drain. If I could use that illustration for a moment. A clogged drain. If you have a clogged drain, let's say the kitchen sink, then when you run that water, it will slowly, slowly drain. But there will always be a small, small puddle of built-up water. The drain is clogged. So what do? You call for your husband. If it's a problem you have, you're a female, you're married. But what do you do? You use Drano. And when you apply that Drano, it has a way of dissolving that problem, and the water is able to drain through. Now, I know that's an elementary, kind of silly illustration. But in life, that's us at times. We're going through trouble. We're going through struggle. And we wonder if God has forgotten about us. And we're like that water just slowly seeping through. There's a combustion problem there. It's clogged. And you see, fear clogs the heart. And fear clogs the mind. We need some spiritual Drano this morning. There's a call for spiritual Drano. And so what is that spiritual Drano? Well, at least in these verses, in this chapter, that spiritual Drano has to do with reflecting back on the works of the Lord and how that God had worked in the life of Asaph. Think about this for a moment and we'll move on. Asaph was a musician of David's. This man, Asaph, at least most commentators believe, was part of his ministry for 40 years. And so most believe that Asaph has seen David in his ups and downs. He was part of his ministry when David lied and he lay with Bathsheba and that sin with Bathsheba. And Asaph was part of David's ministry then. And so he's seen the struggles of his leader. He's seen his ups and he's seen his downs. And Asaph has his own struggles here. And so we said all of that to say that he reflects back on those times and how that God was able to be there for him, Asaph, but also his leader, David, and how that he brought David through many, many a trials. And so we see this morning that in these verses, verse number 10 down through verse number 20, there was faith here. And there was faith because he reflected upon the past, which gets me to my point this morning. I want you to notice, if you would, verse number 19. And let's read it. Follow along as I read verse number 19. The Bible says, "Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known." And so Asaph, he concludes this chapter with a little bit about how God works. He says, "Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known." I want to use that verse this morning, and I want to preach for a few moments on this subject. And it's that very first phrase, "Thy way is in the sea." Thy way is in the sea. Asaph reflects upon God in this verse, and listen to this. He connects God in his activity to the sea. How about that? I read this the other day, and it began to speak volumes to me. Thy way, God's way, is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. A few things this morning. Number one, I want you to notice in this verse, we see his power that's wrapped up in this statement. The Bible says, "Thy way is in the sea." And so Asaph is comparing God and connecting him in his activity to the sea. So what can we learn about God in the sea? We can learn that he has power. There is power connected to God and the sea. Most commentators believe that Asaph is given reference, listen to this, to the Red Sea experience here. Because he mentions Moses and Aaron in the next verse. Look at verse 20. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron. And now he's talking about the sea. So there is a relation he's wanted to drive home here to make a great point. And that is when we observe what God did for Moses and the children of Israel by crossing the Red Sea, we see his power, don't we? We see his power. And so we know that the Red Sea experience was a powerful experience. The Red Sea experience was a powerful one. Number one, it was when Moses and Israel, notice this, had their backs against the wall and nowhere to turn. You know the story and you know the account, how that Moses was leading and they came to the Red Sea and Pharaoh was on their backs and all his men, they had nowhere to go. I mean, their back was against the wall, so to speak. Nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. And what happened? We know that God spoke to Moses and told him to lift his rod, the rod of God. And when he did, those waters parted and they rolled back upon a heap. And they were able to walk through on dry ground. That was a powerful experience. When they came to a place in their life where their back was against the wall and they had nowhere to turn. Isn't that the case with us? Isn't that the kind of God we serve? He is a God of the sea. In fact, thy way is in the sea. This speaks of his power. Those times in life when our back is against the wall. We get a bad doctor's report. Or we turn on the news on Monday morning and we see, oh no, there it is, the virus has tripled in numbers. Yet, time marches on and we have to wake up, we have to go to school and work, nothing changes there. Our back is against the wall. We are limited on what we can do. But don't forget, even when our back is against the wall, whether it's a doctor's report, whether it's a world problem, whether it's a family issue, no matter what the problem is, there are times when our back gets against the wall and there's nowhere to run, but we still serve a God who takes his way in the sea. He's the God of the sea. And this speaks of his power. Not only that, but it was when Moses had to rely on God to move when his back was against the wall. Nowhere to run. He was positioned where he had to rely on God. Are you at a place this morning where you have to rely on him? I mean, there's nobody else that can help you. There's nobody else that can go to work for you. There's nobody else that can step in and do what you need to be done. You have to do it. Your back's against the wall. You have to act. But yet, there's feelings of nervousness and possible fear. I just want to encourage you this morning that he's the Lord is the God of the sea. And when Moses was there at that dead end, that standstill, he had his back against the wall. But yet, because God is so powerful, because the Lord comes through in situations where it seems like it's hopeless and it seems like we're helpless, he still comes through, doesn't he? He's the God of the sea. And this morning we see his power. God miraculously and powerfully rolled back the waters and made a way when there was no way. God's way is in the sea this morning. In Asaph, with all of his heart, he talks about his trouble and then he talks about his triumph. And his triumph comes when he reflects back on what God has done. He remembers a time when God rolled back those waters. He remembers a time where the Lord brought Israel through the Jordan River. And he reflects on those times. And because of that, it ushers in faith and he's able to move forward in spite of his trouble. This morning we see that the Lord has power. Thy way is in the sea. He does mighty, mighty works during our deep, deep problems. He shows his power during difficult times in our life when our back's against the wall and we have nowhere to turn. We praise the Lord for that this morning, that his way is in the sea. And so we see his power, but number two in this verse, we see his path. Notice that next phrase. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters. He says, thy path is in the great waters. And so his way is powerful in the sea, but his path is in the great waters. Now, when it comes to oceans and currents and waves, I believe we all could say that we know somewhat about waves in the ocean. But the great waters of the ocean are changeable waters. They're always changing. They're ungovernable, hard to govern. They're changing. There's big waves in the great waters, in the ocean, in the sea. There's little waves. There's vast waves. And sometimes the great waters can be overwhelming. And we know that the life we live is certainly that way at times. Sometimes life is overwhelming. And sometimes life is changing. We've all been experiencing that lately, the changes of life. And sometimes it seems as though things are ungovernable that come into our life and we get overwhelmed. The little ship that's on the sea and that's sailing in the storm, as it goes down through there, or even a time of peace for all that matters, you see a trail from that ship. But it's a dissolving trail. Notice, if you would, that last part in verse number 19. He says, and thy path is in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Like that little ship that's going down through there in the ocean, and you see that little trail of water, and it dissolves out of nowhere. It's gone. You've seen it for an instant. You've seen it for a moment, but it's gone. And a lot of times, that's the way that we experience life, and we try to go after God and trace his hand and try to piece things together as if it was a puzzle to find out what God's will is. His path is in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. And so we see that the Lord's path sometimes leads us in situations that are changeable. Sometimes we're in situations that are overwhelming because that's the path sometimes that we have to take. And again, his footsteps are not known. That word footsteps in the Hebrew is through the idea of the hill. It means when you take a step, the heel and then the foot leaves a footprint. Well, he's given reference to the Lord working in his life, Asaph, and he's reflecting on the past. He says, there were times where I couldn't trace the Lord. I didn't know what he was doing, and all of these great waters of life, and he led us through here. He says in verse number 20, thou ledest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And then going back to the situation at the Red Sea, when the waters were rolled up on a heap, the children of Israel and Moses, they passed through on dry ground. What happened next? Those waters abated and they came back down over Pharaoh and his men. Sometimes it's hard to track the Lord's footsteps. Just like the waters came down over Pharaoh and his men. Sometimes it's that way in our life. It's hard to trace them. It's hard to track them. He says, and thy path is in great waters. Sometimes he leads us through the fire, and sometimes through the flood of life, the Lord leads us. And sometimes it's hard to trace his hand. Sometimes it's hard to track his footsteps. And so these are all the words of Asaph, talking about the Lord's path. Following the Lord, sometimes we encounter things that overwhelm us. We encounter change and things seem to be out of control, like those waves in the great waters in the ocean. But yet, sometimes that's the Lord's path for us. Sometimes it's a difficult path. sometimes we can't trace his footsteps, but we've got to trust his heart at the end of the day. I want to mention a third thing here, and it's actually in verse number 20. He says in verse number 20, "Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." We see his picture he gives here. We are his flock, and he's our shepherd. So he gives a picture of sheep and a shepherd. And Asaph is going through all of this, his trouble. Then he goes through his triumph, and it's because he's reflecting on the past. And he talks about how the Lord leads. He gives a picture here of a flock and its shepherd. We are his flock. He's the shepherd leading us. And sometimes it's through that fire. Sometimes it's through the flood. David knew what he was talking about in Psalm 23. We won't read that for the sake of time, but we know that in that psalm, the shepherd was there. He was leading, he was guiding, he was providing. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, he led David through. The same way with this God of the sea, who leads us through great difficulties and great trials. Sometimes we can't trace him, but we got to trust him because of what he has done. But he does it because we're his sheep and he's the shepherd. And David says so in Psalm 23. But then Isaiah said so in Isaiah 43. Notice if you would for a moment, Isaiah 43, verse number 1 and 2. He says in verse number 1, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by name, thou art mine." Verse 2, "When," not if, but "when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." Why will he be with us? Because he's the God of the sea. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." And he's given us this picture of God leading us. And God protecting us. And that's what he's doing today. In the day and time in which we live, he is tenderly leading us. We are his sheep. He is the shepherd. But the Lord leads day by day. Sometimes just through the great waters of difficulty. The Lord was with Moses. The Lord was with Aaron. He was the cloud by day. He was the fire by night. He gave them what they needed during the day so they would not be scorched by the sun. And yet he was their warmth in the night. Keep them warm. That's the God I'm talking about this morning. He will be with us every step of the way. He will warm us in the cool night air of affliction. We see his power, or we see his picture this morning. And that is in verse number 20, "Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." Then we see his path. His path is through the great waters. But then we see, of course, number one, his way. And that is his power. He's powerful this morning. He's able. And I'm not sure what your situation might be. I know we're all experiencing some of the same things with our current situation with the pandemic. But you may have some personal things that you're experiencing this morning, and you might want to come pray. We'll give a verse of invitation, and you can come pray. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. Help us always remember that you're the God of the sea. You're the master of the sea. And your ways sometimes for us are to go that route and experience difficulties and trials so that you may teach us some things about yourself. But we know that we're your sheep and you're the shepherd. And you're tenderly guiding us, and we're thankful for that. We love you. We thank you. Give liberty in the invitation, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's